Hello, this is Mr. Petey Pete, and you are listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 and WGXC.org, streaming all over the world.
Hi, I'm Jack Sensabar from Catskill, inviting you to listen to my show, Backtracks in Time, dedicated to the history of Greene County, its notable people and places, and the Hudson River. The fourth Tuesday of every month from 2 to 3 p.m., broadcasting live from WGXC's satellite studio at the Catskill Library. You'll hear interviews with local historians, longtime residents with stories to tell, and archival recorded material. So please join me for Backtracks in Time every fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM, your community radio station.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Okay, good morning. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acra. This is Now Boarding the Travel Show with Jim and Dan, and I have to say, Mr. Matt Moody, being that he is on air today. Moody, how are you doing? Mr. Moody, are you there? No connection with Mr. Moody at the moment. Okay, anyway, Jimmy is not going to be joining us, unfortunately. He is en route to New York via bus from Boston, actually. And it's unfortunate because Jimmy is back in the United States, and we're just not hearing from him. So hopefully we get connected with Mr. Moody here very shortly, and we'll see what he has to say on WGXC. But going to see when he comes in. All right, there we go. We're gonna try to get him involved here, and we'll see if he picks up on his end. But anyway, it's another hot day in Hudson, New York. It's been quite the weather pattern we've had. If you haven't been around, it's been hot and humid and steamy and rainy, and it just it seems to continue on that track. So let's see what let's see if Mr. Moody is going to be coming on or what. Still can't reach him. I don't know why exactly. Mr. Moody, are you there? Okay, let's try one more time. Okay, there we go. Okay, Moody, I'm going to plug you in through the auxiliary cable. Hopefully this works right now. Okay. Stay tight. Okay, very good. Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, this is not working. Can you hear me now? Mood? I think we're going to have to do this with a phone call instead. All right, Mood, try calling me, please, okay? Give me a call, okay?
On Skype?
Yes, on Skype.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Okay. Just some technical difficulty here. Sometimes this does happen. There we go. We're getting a call from Mr. Moody. Okay, Moody, can you hear me? Okay, can you hear Moody? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just stay right there. I'm going to try this one more time. Unfortunately, we're having a little issue here. Hold on. Hold tight. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. There we go. Very good. All right. Well, we mastered that, Moody. It's been a while. I know that. It's been about at least a month, if not about 4 to 6 weeks, that you've been on last. What's happened? Have you had a just a down period, or you were recovering from your tour to Poland? What's why the absence?
I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason. I think just, you know, just that Sunday morning at 5 a.m. Saturday night is, you know, things happen Saturday night, and then it's 5 a.m. here in Hawaii for me to be on the radio show. So I don't think there's any specific reasons. Just, but hey, sleeping in.
Yeah. Everyone needs everyone needs a break, Moody. Everyone needs to get recollected with their rest. And yeah, I mean, your contributions, you for all that you've contributed, you have that. We're allowing you, you know, that time off. So.
Thank you. Very, very kind of you, Dan. Thank you.
All right.
But Jimmy texted me 2 days ago and he said, you cannot miss Sunday. I will not be there. You have to wake up. So
yeah, Jimmy,
I did not go to sleep last night in preparation.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, I'm sure it's going to be we're going to have a great time, Moody. And, it's refreshing not to have Jimmy on. I have to say that. And
that's not. He's not even here to defend himself. But
that's okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Sometimes he takes cracks at you when you're not there.
So. Sometimes, yeah, probably every show.
Well, hey, that's the nature of our program, and you know that. And mm-hmm. That's just, you know, if someone, I'm sorry if you know, we've ever hurt feelings or we have made attacks on people when they haven't been there. It's all in good. It's all in good humor and jest, and it's only to make for better conversation. So
it's the reason that we work the way we do, because we don't take offense to things. It wouldn't work if we did.
right. So you know, it extends to you and extends to others that you know. We actually love everyone that has been on air with us, and if anyone has ever felt slighted, that's most likely due to Jimmy, not to me, and that's all that it is. But Mood, it's unfortunate that you're not on the continent right now, because well, I guess it's fortunate that you are away, actually. Being that everyone else is enduring on the East Coast a storm and a sort of societal collapse, being that Jimmy has returned.
Yeah, I kind of, there's those times in society where big moments happen, negative as they may be. You know, you kind of just want to be there to witness it. You want to witness the aftermath. You know, I wish I was there. I wish I was there to see just the dismay, mayhem that he's bringing.
Oh, it's, I mean, you know, you ever watch
Trump? Trump has been tweeting about Jimmy, you know, being back.
Yeah, right. It's like finally Trump has a day off from criticism, because people have enough to say about Jimmy. But that's. Yeah, I mean, if you ever want to see a path of destruction and just pure kind of, what is it, iniquity, a blazing trail of iniquity, it's just follow Jimmy around, and it's you'll see all the cloud dust from his effect. But yes, look, it's enough speaking about him. We want to hear from you. I know it's... I don't know if you've been going through the islands at all, or you've just been going through monotony. What's happened for the last time that we spoke?
Sorry to disappoint, Dan, but it has been monotony. And I know you just had the segue of not talking about Jimmy, but I do have a story that I want to share with you. This is just something that I think is hilarious.
All right, let's get done with it, and then we'll leave it. We'll leave him behind. Go ahead.
So you were aware that when Jimmy and another close friend of ours, Mr. Steven Spader, came to visit me back in January, there was the nuclear missile false alarm.
Yes.
So I was on Facebook last week, and I think it's a local production. It's just some sort of small studio documentary, but it came across my Facebook feed, and there is being a documentary made about the false alarm. And I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's funny to me because, I mean, literally nothing happened. So
yeah,
it is funny. But in the light that they're painting this documentary, mm-hmm. the interviews were people being very emotional, just crying, yeah. like talking about how they didn't know what was going to happen. And mm-hmm. I guess there was, you know, one guy like had two kids in two different locations and he didn't know.
Sure.
He had to make the choice of who to spend his, well, what he thought was to where to go, you know?
Wow.
So that in and of itself is not funny.
Mm-hmm.
But what is funny is, in contrary to how these people in the documentary were so seriously spending their last moments, me and Jimmy went to a gas station and bought an 18-pack of beer. After we called our fiancés, and we thought that if we're gonna go out, we're gonna go out. but that light was not shown in this documentary trailer that I watched.
You know what? You should almost volunteer your story. You know, you should reach out to these people.
I've been telling this story to other people, and I almost wish it was like an after credits scene. Like they paint this documentary, the entire hour and a half, in a super somber, serious manner. You know, and then yeah. like the credits roll, and then it's just like me and Jimmy like drinking a beer,
yeah, just, right. like,
waiting for our demise.
You know what's terrible about that is that if Kim Jong-un sees the documentary, he knows that he's won, being that he's inflicted terror where he wanted to inflict terror. It's not.
Well, I mean,
physical.
Technically, he didn't inflict anything. he didn't do anything.
Right, the incompetent state employee had.
I see your point.
Yeah, but Moody had all. This was all due to a history of him traumatizing with his history of launching nuclear warheads
and
other projectiles.
Yeah, so you're correct. He's over there
indirectly.
For
indirectly,
sure.
It had led to him. It was rooted in him. So he got, you know, he won. And if he sees the documentary, he wins even more. Although
that's another big reason why I feel like me and Jim should be on there.
It would show that he wouldn't win. It would show that Americans are resilient. Americans, they're not going to cower in the face of a nuclear warhead coming at them. They're going to crack open a beer, as Jimmy says, rack 'em and stack 'em, clink 'em and drink 'em, down 'em and pound 'em and down 'em. And that's what, and as Stone Cold Steve Austin says, I drink beer. And you know, you guys should have had t-shirts with that while you were, you know, watching that nuclear warhead soar from the west towards you.
D-Ron, like I do try to paint this comically, but I just want you to know that this situation was so comical in and of itself that I'm not even building it up. Like, we went to, so there's a corner store in my neighborhood. It's a military neighborhood that has its own corner store, right?
Yeah.
So we get there, and it's like 9 a.m. because I had 8:30 a.m. or whatever it was. I just picked up Jimmy from the airport. We pull into the gas station. There are people, including my roommate and his girlfriend, walking out of the store with gallon jugs of water, canned food, and this is just a corner store. This is not a grocery store. They have whatever canned goods they could buy. And then they saw us, and they were like, "Oh, are you guys getting water too?" And me and Jim, and I'm not making this up. Me and Jimmy were just like, "No, like, we're just getting beer."
You know,
I mean, I know it's serious, but if this is a nuclear missile, We're on the harbor. My neighborhood is the opposite ground side of Pearl Harbor base.
Yeah.
So if there's a missile coming in, we would tend to assume that they'd be aiming for Pearl Harbor.
Sure. Knock out the legitimate defense systems.
Military hubs. Yeah, right.
Right where you are. But, yes. I wouldn't really. You have a fiance, and we've extended our congratulations to you, which I have to congratulate you again.
But, thank you again.
I have read, and I do somewhat agree upon the concept that women look for a mate for the purpose of reproduction. And usually they're most attracted to those who are going to show characteristics of continuation of survival. And what you demonstrated in the face of complete annihilation to yourself, and you would therefore not be able to reproduce, I wouldn't really tell that story to say, I mean, God forbid your wedding gets canceled, the marriage gets thrown to the wayside. If you ever have to attract a female again, Moody, and I know that I'm going to be on the Me Too movement for, I probably just blasted everything. You know, this isn't how women think. Anyway, do not tell the story because it's going to detract from your attraction. You're not demonstrating any kind of, continuation of the species from buying beer.
What were my
beer.
Choices? Dan, what were my choices?
Exactly. Exactly what your roommate did. If you had just 1% chance of survival, it wasn't through the route of buying the 18-pack.
Buying water and canned goods were going to save him from nuclear radiation?
Possibly, he could possibly have a chance. You had no chance with Jimmy and yourself buying the 18-pack.
You know what I had a chance of?
What's that?
We had a chance of enjoying our last minutes on Earth.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. And you know what? Perhaps if you were drinking and you were intoxicated when the missile was landing, and say you didn't get maybe them in their state of just pure stiffness. It's like when you're in a car and it's told to those, if you're in an accident, if you experience
your muscles are relaxed.
Yeah, if you are more relaxed, you have a better chance of stability and having less trauma and impact as opposed to being stiff. And, you know, so perhaps if the projectiles were going to, you know, bounce towards you and everything, perhaps you and Jimmy would be the ones to survive after all. Because you'd be entirely relaxed.
We're talking about radiation here, though.
Yeah, well.
I'm not sure loose muscles are going to help with radiation.
Yeah, right.
But I like where your head's at, though.
Yeah. Anyway, Moody, it was a spectacular moment for, for those who consume beer, I have to say. You and Jimmy.
That's what we should do. We should get a sponsorship. Me and Jimmy should be like going on a press tour for this documentary wearing Bud Light shirts. We should be,
wait a minute. You really chose Bud Light as the last
to
drink?
I literally just said.
Whoa. Moody? You there? Okay. Somehow we lost Moody just right now. I'm going to call him back. Hold on. Let's see what happened. I'm giving him a call. We got disconnected somehow. Hopefully he gets back on the air with us. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre. This is Now Boarding, the travel show with Jim and Dan. Jim is not with us. He's en route from Boston to New York City on a bus. And he tells us he cannot come on due to connectivity problems. Okay, we're going to try it with Moody one more time. We're going to see if he's Moody, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Look, I apologize. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
Did you get that mad at me for the Bud Light thing?
Oh yeah, that's right. No. Go ahead.
I literally just said an arbitrary beer that came to mind. I think what we ended up drinking was Kona. It's Kona beer.
Okay.
It's Hawaii. It's from the Big Island.
Oh, nice.
But,
so I'm sure that's a good beer. I'm sure that's flavorful.
It's produced on the on the mainland now. I think it's out of Seattle, Washington. But yeah, they have a bunch of different flavors. I think we were drinking they have one called Lava Man. It's a
That's awesome.
It's a red ale.
Oh, that's that's spectacular. That's great marketing. Yeah, yeah. They should make one with I don't know, kind of like nuclear warhead triple IPA.
I'm sure it's out there.
Oh, that would be awesome if you went to Kona and you sold your story as you're saying to.
God, dude, I'm making some phone calls. Dan,
you should, and I get a commission because I introduced the. You were going to go to Bud Light. What a terrible! You were going to be like a Dilly Dilly apocalypse commercial.
I would be lost without you, my brother.
That's okay. Mood. It's I just can't get over just Kim Jong-un seeing this documentary, potentially seeing this documentary in his private theater, you know, having like 3 pounds of buttered popcorn, and he's just gorging himself on the buttered popcorn, and he's drinking probably not Kona, but he's probably having some high, you know, luxury liquor. And Dennis Rodman is right next to him, and they're just slapping their knees, laughing at the documentary. You know how he's always smiling, and he looks like he's always laughing and like slapping people's backs, and everyone's having a good time. That's just how I picture him watching the documentary.
Definitely. Like, look at these dumb Americans over here.
Yeah, what a disgrace. But anyway, okay, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. We keep on getting moments of pause and... Okay, go ahead. Talk, Moody, please. Don't know what's happening.
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm good.
Good. All right, my cable is in my computer. I know that you're just I don't know, on your Wi-Fi, I imagine.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Dan. Those last two times I went in and out is because I put the... I put my phone on silent so you wouldn't hear me opening a can of beer, but I guess the cat's out of the bag now.
Yeah. So, cats. I know that
Segway champion. Yeah,
you've hated your Segway champion. That's Moody. All right. You've expressed how much you hate two cats that I know of, and those were your roommate's cats. And it's unfortunate that your roommate never gets on the air, or your previous roommate, right?
Yes, he is living with
his fiance,
said owner of said cats. Yes.
Okay. You know, you have very good terminologies, and you use the English language very well, Moody. I'm just complimenting you.
Sometimes.
Yeah. No, you really do have a gift. You're a better speaker than Jimmy.
Well, that goes without saying. Sorry, Marianne, if you're listening. I'm just kidding. He's a very bright boy.
He's much better than us. It's just we're attacking him. Anyway.
We would not be on air had not be for Jimmy.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Exactly.
At least definitely not me.
But look, it's unfortunate your previous roommate can't ever defend himself from our attacks. why did you hate these cats so much? And have you come across in your travels a degree of hate towards animals that you have towards these cats? Or do you is there a good reason for your abomination?
You are opening Pandora's box, Dan. You are just getting in there, brother. So,
okay, go ahead.
No, I'm just so glad that this will never be heard by my former roommate.
Yeah.
and his girlfriend. So I do not hate animals. I do not hate specific animals, even if they are hard to live with. Yeah. What was going on here was I had dislike for somebody who was living in my house. Oh. And a lot of that dislike got attached to the animals.
That's terrible. I mean, that's entirely unfair to the animals. It was just they were in association. That's all.
Well, oh, no, not just that. I mean, they were not innocent either. They were scratching. They were damaging things in a house that the lease is under my name. They were crawling into my room, just clawing. Like, these were not my animals, and they were getting into my personal space.
And was there any and there was no reasonable restraint or control from the owner's part to free you of this?
See, that's the entire thing that you just nailed. You hit the nail on the head. Yeah. When you have someone who may be difficult to live with, you're allowed, first of all, no rent was involved.
Uh-huh.
He was living with me. His girlfriend moved in for a couple months. We had briefly talked about his rent increasing. It never came to fruition.
Wow.
So that's that was where.
Hold on. You were carrying the entire rent?
No. He was paying rent. But when she moved in, we talked about his rent increasing.
Sure.
And it never did.
Oh, no, that means, it should have been a third for everyone at that point.
Well, I wouldn't do that. And technically, I had two roommates. So it was us three guys and then his girlfriend. And I had proposed 40-30-30.
Yeah, that's very fair of you.
And that just never happened. So on top of the fact that they weren't pulling their equal share rent-wise, now I'm dealing with these cats. And to your point that you just brought up, when someone's doing you a favor, it's really good, classy nature to be apologetic, to understand that you're, you know, putting someone out.
Yeah.
You would have thought that I was living in these cats' house. I was...
Oh, I hope I can go back to the archives and just have that as a clip moment. Living in these cats' house. That was very expressive of you.
Is that a viral moment?
Yeah, that was. No,
they own the living arrangement along with their owner, which I hope never hears this. Jesus. But.
So this is why communism fails, because when everyone should be contributing equally, some are more equal than others. It's what happened. Jeez, case in point with your living situation. And the cat's got a free ride.
Oh, the freest of any free ride, for sure. Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And they left behind even a mess. They moved out and there's cat litter in the hallway. It's just, it was a whole big thing, Dan. Like I said, Pandora's box has been opened, retrieved.
Yeah. Okay. So are you more of a cat individual or more of a dog individual?
Definitely dog. Okay. Oh, dog all the way.
Okay, small dog, like, or what? Medium dog?
Medium. I was just going to say, right in between. I'm actually dog sitting right now for one of my best friends in the military. He lives in my neighborhood. They went back home to Montana for a month. I have his lab, but it's like a lab and Rottweiler mix, so he basically just looks like a lab on steroids.
Yeah.
And this dog is a...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
He's amazing, but he doesn't understand that he's close to 100 pounds and he's trying to be a lap dog and just all over you, and it's just too much. And his claw, like, he's a strong dog, so...
Yeah.
I like medium dogs for sure.
Yeah. No, I understand. I like cats. I like dogs too, but I don't know. I just don't like getting slobbered on by dogs.
I agree.
I love, you know, running with dogs and playing with them, and I just don't like the slobber effect. Cats, you know, they lick as well, but usually it's not your face, which is right. That's a plus. Anyway, Mood, have you in Poland when you were traveling? Did you come across many animals, many pets, or really nothing? Or in your travels, do you have anything of note to talk about animals? Have you been stalled by an animal? Have you been endangered by an animal? Have you endangered an animal?
I'm sorry. I just wasn't ready for that part of the question. I didn't think you were going to take it there. I didn't see that as a possible ending to that question.
Many people are motivated to travel so that they can, in fact, do that. But
like the dentist from the Midwest who hunted Cecil the lion a couple of years back.
That's right. Very good memory.
That's not. That was. Yes, it was. Yes, it definitely was.
Yeah.
But no, I did not. I did not harm any animals. To be honest with you, I have a hard time placing any animals. So
yeah.
This is something that Kinga would say. You know, America's known for excess, right?
Yeah.
And I think that follows all the way to. Living arrangements. You know, a lot of people in Poland have flats. If it's a more populated area, smaller flats. And even if they do have homes in a rural area, it's a smaller home. Mm-hmm. So I did. Oh, actually, I do have a story. I'm sorry. Most of Kinga's family did not have any pets, I think.
Uh-huh.
Just because, you know, just the living situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's listening right now, but forgive me. Because I'm okay. Just going to be honest. So we visited her cousin and his fiance. They're a younger couple. I think he's 22. She's 20.
Wow.
The loveliest of people. He is a hard worker. He's in IT, information technology. Same thing King is going to school for. They really get along for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And really just a, like I said, lovely couple. They took us in, you know, we were hopping around city to city. They lived in this one city where none of her other family lived, and they were just very welcoming. They have a puppy, let's say, you know, cause I think it was just a little over a year old. This dog was very rambunctious, very overexcited, just jumping all over you.
Mm-hmm.
And being maybe this would be my assessment, being younger couple kind, they didn't like really contain her.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And it got to so there was one thing that really bothered me. Mm-hmm. We were at the kitchen table. We were all eating.
Are
dinner.
You sure you want to say this? I mean, we can.
It's not. I've already said.
Okay.
I've already said it to Kinga. I mean. She knows that the viewership is not going to make its way back to Poland, so it's okay.
Stop.
We're outside of the realm of realism now?
Oh, come on. Mood, be a little optimistic.
Okay, yeah, sure. Warsaw is listening right now, sure.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway... So imagine when you're sitting at a kitchen table, right? You got your elbows kind of bowed out.
Yep.
In the space between my arm, you know, and the tape, like I'm sitting, the dog like forces her way between my elbow and the the dog's face is right like at my plate, right?
Yeah. Oh no.
She didn't eat anything. She didn't eat anything, but she's just there. She's like, she just forced her way right in there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I do love this couple. The boy is Kinga's cousin, and then his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But she really is such a sweet person.
Yeah.
But this is the quote that came out of her mouth, and I didn't say anything, and I struggled because they were so nice. Amazing, welcoming.
Yep.
Yeah. She said, "It's so cute when she begs."
Ah. Jeez.
Like, I'm literally moving my arm to put the fork up to my mouth, her dog's head is like bumping my elbow and I'm like struggling to eat. And she's like, "It's just so cute when she begs." Yeah. And I was at a loss. Yeah. Like, I had never heard something like that.
Well, it's better than you asking for more of whatever was being served and someone saying, the girlfriend saying, "It's so cute when he begs," to Kinga.
Right.
But, definitely. Oh, geez. Well, that's okay. I mean, it could have been worse. It could have been, she could have said, "Aren't you going to give him something to you?" That I would take that as worse. Hey, you know, they're a young couple. You have to forgive them. They're, and come on.
Yeah,
Rudy.
No, and I do. Yeah.
If that was the smallest kind of negative aspect, then
I mean, Dan, you asked me a question and I answered it. I don't judge them at all. I just that is an experience I had overseas. No, they still are the sweetest, maybe the sweetest two people I met over there. But it was just something just very awkward.
Okay, we probably lost all of our viewership now in Poland.
Yeah.
Okay, the worst relations we've had since the end of World War II. Unbelievable.
Right.
Okay. Well, I hope you. I hope you get to see them again.
No, we will. Oh, we will. Yeah. Either. Well, I'm supposed to go back to Poland in December, not me. Well, that's what I'm shooting for. Yeah. Me and Kinger, China for Christmas.
That would be fun. You know, the festivity in the air and everything for Christmas, whatnot. But
yeah, no, I'm
good.
Definitely
good. Mood. Let's talk about the island.
Okay.
And I want to point out Churchtown. In comparison, you know, where you grew up and where you came of age. So I've noticed in the past couple years that, I do know that Churchtown is well north in the United States, and especially of the Mason-Dixon line. Mason-Dixon line being that latitude point that separated north and south, antebellum period, Civil War period of our history. However,
I'm aware. Not sure if you're telling me or the listeners, but I'm aware.
No, I'm just making everything just backdrop. For,
gotcha.
You know, as we should for
tracking.
Yep, exactly. However, in the last couple of years, I've come across a few Confederate flags, the stars and bars, being flown around Churchtown, other parts of the county as well. But that's a little. I don't know where they achieve their Southern pride. Being that we're well north, but it's interesting to observe that. Do you ever see the Confederate flag in Hawaii?
No,
you
no,
have never.
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe. Let me strike that. On trucks, maybe on a bumper sticker or you know how they have the. Well, I'm in a military. It is Hawaii. It is a democratic state by far.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of military personnel here.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
So,
okay.
I think I may have seen it a couple times, know.
Okay.
But to your point, Dan, I don't necessarily think that it's Southern pride. I think that the flag has become a symbol of Republican pride, anti-democratic pride.
I don't think it's Republican pride at all. I think it's for... I think there's a couple
I didn't mean to offend. If you're Republican, I'm not saying that it's synonymous with Republican, I just mean that there may be a certain type of Republican that would identify with that. I wasn't trying to pigeonhole anybody.
Sure.
I just
there might be a certain Democrat that would identify that as well. However, I think that there are a few camps that might have that flag being flown or have that
definitely
license plates. There's definitely the camp that believes themselves to be this country consumer in terms of music and in terms of lifestyle.
Right.
And then there's also those who are heritage-wise, as they say, believe in the flag as a representation of their given geographic setting and their history simply of being in the South for those given states. And then there's obviously an extent, which I don't know how large, but it might be racially motivated.
Right.
However, it's interesting to see it being flown in an area that was in the North, which, you know, after all, we did win. So I don't know what they're trying to do. You know, it's like,
I think it's just, it's a rural area, and I'm trying to speak in a not rude way. I just think back when we won the war, we were all on the same page,
right?
The North,
right?
Right.
Right. And I think that largely if someone is, flying that flag, they are consumers of a given lifestyle, or they believe themselves to be of given ways and customs that, or beliefs that are not rooted necessarily with racial sort of motivation, as opposed to just that heritage aspect. Hopefully.
Yeah.
We hope.
I don't think you would be surprised if I was to tell you that Churchtown is not built from the most enlightened.
Moody, come on. That's okay. All right. Yeah, I live here. You don't. You know, you can say that. You can say that so far away.
I live there, and my family is from Churchtown, but I'm not speaking about my family. I'm not speaking about everyone. I'm just saying on average.
Whoa.
I'm saying
on average.
I'm saying...
Wow.
You know what I'm saying. I'm not saying everyone there is not enlightened. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
I'm just saying that...
I think that...
hey, the truth hurts. The truth hurts, D-Ron. I lived in Churchtown for 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might not be close.
Okay. Here is what it is, Mood. It is that many times if you experience a very negative situation, and that given person that is the cause of that situation and the negativity is readily identifiable in a given regard, then perhaps you're going to have a given bias to others that you might see.
So you're saying my viewpoint is biased because I lived there and I wasn't the biggest fan? I can still be objective.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you know, some people that might be entirely identifiable due to what they wear, what they a flag that they fly, doesn't necessarily mean that all of who are identifiable from that given illustration or flag or whatever whatnot is going to have the same kind of negative effect or share the same exact beliefs or have those given attributes, is what I'm saying.
I absolutely agree, except that I did the experiments. I did the...
You had like sociological
I
case
did
studies?
The sociology. I took the bus to school with these people. I walked around the town. I spoke to a high speed.
That wasn't
an experiment.
No, an experiment is something that you do voluntarily. You were mandated to get on the bus.
Okay, but I've,
unbelievable.
I have spent time amongst. I have been Tarzan with the apes. I know what these people are like.
Wow, you're really.
That was a poor metaphor. I didn't mean it that way. That was just a metaphor being immersed in culture.
we went down a bad road. I mean, very quickly. I didn't intend any of that, but I simply was trying to get a see what Hawaii was about. If you know, Islanders are flying the flag or whatever. But look, it's. You know, it's all revealing, and that's what we get when we travel. We get revelation, and many times it's revelation from the viewpoint and the comparison of the reference that is our place that we grew up in and that has been the most impressionable to us. So, yeah, Mood, you continue to be so observant and so contributing. And despite us having sometimes, little arguments on the air, I believe us as well as the greater part of society can have conversations and live with each other. And I hope that is, I hope other people feel the same.
Well, there's a lot of different cultures on this island. Within the last 4 hours, I spend time with double-digit nationalities, people from different backgrounds and cultures. So, no, for sure, it's definitely possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, you find pockets where people are not tolerable.
Sure, sure.
It's unfortunate.
And that's, that's within every population, unfortunately. But, traveling allows for... for the possibility and the opportunity for interactions of people that otherwise might not have interacted before. And that's the
beauty
of it.
That was one of my favorite things about going to Poland, Dan. And cut me off if I repeated myself, because I know we've talked about
Every time we talk about the nuclear warhead, and it's the second time that we've talked about the cats. So,
well, you brought up the cats, but no, I just it was amazing for me to be, not to toot my own horn, but for what I hope was a positive influence on a lot of people that I met in Poland about their judgment on Americans. You know, they were asking me a lot of questions. I don't think they have a super negative preconceived notions, but they do have their preconceived notions of just, that most of it's just the European, what we kind of hear in our culture, like the European stereotypes towards Americans, right? Like loud, obnoxious, excessive, what have you.
Sorry, Moody. Yeah, I understand that. Someone was speaking to me.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. Loud, obnoxious is what you said.
Yeah and okay. Just like everything in excess. Mm-hmm. But it was just so nice to meet them. And it was almost like you could feel, like I could see it in their faces or like feel when they would speak to me that I was surprising them. Like in every word, like, in my humility, in my politeness.
Yeah.
Like they were just like surprised left and right.
Yeah.
And that was really nice. It was a really nice feeling to this.
Yeah. No, that's, you are very humble where you could otherwise be braggadocious from all of your accomplishments. But,
okay. Let's say I agree.
Yeah,
but I don't.
No. I really, you are a great person because of from your not only your contributions, but because of your. I would definitely say if I had to describe aspects of you, that one of your some of your shining attributes are exactly that. You're very considerate, you're very polite, and you're very humble amidst people. And I think people very much appreciate that. So, but I don't want to, inflate you from all of this either.
let me make sure you sleep easy. Let me make sure you sleep easy tonight, D-Ron. My head is not inflated. Don't worry about
all
it.
All right.
But no, it's a good feeling when you do that amongst peers, when you do that amongst your American peers. But it was just even so much more, you know, I couldn't even speak to these people. Sure. I literally couldn't even speak to them. Well, but I could feel that they were accepting me
It's that you as well as them are having a good moment together, and you value each other, and there's positivity from it. And that's, I think all of us should go if we are traveling, and especially to a place that is going to be a different population than where we have come from, that we do travel with those aspects of humility and politeness. It's very, you know, that carries a lot of weight as opposed to the rambunctious, obnoxious.
So much.
Jimmy, I've been trying to have Jimmy forgive those who he believes have assaulted or have targeted him for so many years now. And he's expressed this anger and this this kind of poison on the air for so long against Canadians.
Canada. And, that man can hold a grudge. He can hold a grudge like the best of them. That's just for sure.
It's such an unfair sentiment. And
I don't know about him. He was innocent. Jimmy was innocent.
Are you his advocate? Are you his attorney?
I am an unbiased spectator.
But he extends it to the entire population up there, Moody. That's not fair. I mean, I don't like. Fairness and equality isn't something that's fair.
I don't think that Jimmy has ever spoken the words "I hate every Canadian person in Canada."
If he was on the microphone here, he would say that he does.
Okay, then yes, I would agree with you that that's unfair. but I know that he's not the biggest fan. He was treated unjust. I feel like.
Wow. So if you're in a room with 19 great people and one of those people or 20 great people and one of those people out of 20 treats you wrongly and the other 19 are great, you would say that the entire room is
Hold on. Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
Are all of the other 19 people wearing a t-shirt of a club? Are they in a club together? The beer of the month club, and you don't like the beer they're drinking, then yes, absolutely. That's what happens in human nature. If you were wronged and they have a label on them, you're going to hate the whole team.
So you think Canadians that love Jimmy, being that Jimmy hates a couple Canadians, those Canadians should move away from Canada?
Jimmy doesn't hate Canadians. Jimmy hates Canadian government. Jimmy hates Canada because they wronged him. Jimmy's not going to meet a Canadian person in New York and say, "Don't talk to me because you're from Canada." he never said that.
Okay. All right. This is a crazy conversation, Moody. Why did you get us involved in this?
Me. I did this.
All right. Okay. Now, speaking of Canada, I really want to get back up there. My girlfriend and I have had such great experiences, specifically in Quebec City, Montreal as well. But
For a hockey team,
Quebec City.
They are. Yeah, I think they're going to get one.
That would be fantastic. My cousin is an avid hockey fan. He's a
He lives in Quebec.
No. He lives in. He works with us, and he. Was formerly NYPD in Brooklyn, but gotcha. Anyway, he's a diehard Rangers fan, and he knows
gross.
He knows so much history and of the NHL and hockey altogether. And
well, Quebec used to have a team.
He told me, he revealed that to me, that Quebec used
to be... The Nordiques.
The Nordiques, right. And that, man, that'd be fantastic if they... was it the Nordiques or the Monarchs? What? No, you must be right.
No, it was the Ottawa Monarchs before the Ottawa Senators. Okay. And then, but yeah, it was Quebec the Quebec Nordiques. Nordiques.
Okay. Yeah, and then they got disbanded about 93, early 90s.
Somewhere. They moved. So you know how franchises move. The Nordiques became something, but I don't want to. I don't want to throw out an incorrect guess.
Yeah,
they moved. I believe to the Minnesota North Stars, which is now the Dallas Stars. Could they drop the Minnesota North Stars moved down and dropped the North? But I think that's where the Nordiques went. If I'm not mistaken.
Well, I would definitely go up to a game if Quebec City had a team again.
They'll blow up from what I've heard. They've been missing the city's been missing it ever since. Yeah, it'll just explode, just like Vegas-esque.
Yeah. Well, I would love we would love to get back up there, see the countryside more. Also, really would love to get to Nova Scotia. Visit some of the Maritimes up there, but I don't know. Have you done any greater Canadian traveling beyond what I'm saying? I know that.
No, not at all. Only Montreal. But if on my wish list is a Pacific Northwest kind of tripod type thing. Mm-hmm. I would love to do Seattle, Portland, Vancouver.
Yeah, I would love to get to Vancouver myself and to see some of the coastline and. Perhaps, some hiking there. That'd be fun.
I just heard so many positive things about all three of those cities. I just want to see them someday.
Yeah. And, I mean, hopefully that comes to be mood. It will be a race. Who gets there first? You, me, or you, me, or Jimmy.
Maybe we could go together. For the purpose of the show.
Yeah. Maybe we could go and see if Jimmy, thaws. With his hatred, or if he, I mean.
So there's a big difference between French Canada and Pacific Northwest Canada. It's not the same.
No, nor is Toronto going to be the same as Nova Scotia or, Saskatchewan or Alberta or Edmonton.
It's, right. Well, Toronto is French Canada, though.
Toronto is not. No, it's an Ontario.
Is it not? Yeah. Is it not?
No, it's not.
So it's only Montreal? Like what?
Montreal and Quebec are the two main.
Yeah. I thought Toronto was as well. My apologies.
No. We have to have all the correct information on our program. Okay.
Excuse me. Yep, you're right.
Anyway, it's. Summertime would be best to see any of that. Being that, I think winter would be a little difficult with the climate. Although Vancouver is more moderate, as well as Nova Scotia, from what I hear, compared to what we experience in our Hudson Valley. But, mood. One day, hopefully, we'll extend better... better relations from your traveling to Canada, my traveling to Canada, and we'll keep Jimmy at bay. We'll keep him, just south. That's all that we can do.
Just keep him down.
Yeah. Okay, we got 40 seconds, Moody. What would you like to say?
Just a shout out to my fiance Kinga. I don't know if she's listening today. She had one of her wisdom teeth removed yesterday, and she thinks she may have a fever. She's not feeling good, so I just want to tell you I'm thinking of you. I love you, sweetheart. And go ahead, D-Ron. On to you, brother.
Yeah. I'd like to wish the same to my girlfriend, Moody. I hope we get to do something later today, go on a hike or something. But Mood, it's been terrific speaking with you. I hope that you're on our next program, and I'll send you a message between now and then. But we have 7 seconds. We've got to